welcome to the New Beginnings message of the week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
In Hebrews 12:15, I'm from the Passion Translation. It says, "Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many." Bitterness is described as a root that poisons and defiles many. If the root in someone can poison the heart of someone else, then it's safe to say that the poisonous root in that person will also poison them as well. For me, the poisonous root manifested as anxiety and anger. And it poisoned me from a really young age, and it caused a lot of struggles and issues in my life. And it actually really, by God's grace, He was able to get me back on the right path, but it really derailed a lot of the things that God wanted to do in my life for a long time. A few weeks ago, Pastor David taught about going deep into the river with God and how we sometimes stay stuck only ankle deep. Bitterness, even the bitterness you don't realize you're carrying, can change you. It can change the way you talk, the way you act, the way you respond to others, and it can keep us from being able and often wanting to go deeper into that river with God. And most of the time, when there's a rough spot in us, an ugly spot, we push God away, or we keep Him at arm's length because we feel ashamed and we want to hide it from Him. Or we struggle to enter in because we know that we aren't right with Him and we need to surrender those things to Him. Personally, I felt like I had to fix everything that was going on with me internally on my own. I felt like there was no way that He would be able to or want to walk with me through those spaces because they were so messy and ugly. The good news is that I was wrong. Through the years, I've learned that He's not afraid to walk in the hard spaces with us because He loves and adores us. Interestingly enough, I learned that when I was open and vulnerable with Him, that He not only caught me every time, but He brought me through some really painful things and helped me heal from wounds that were so deep I really didn't know how to heal. Staying bitter and staying focused on the past keeps us from being able to move forward and being able to step into the anointing in that calling. And how does it take root in us? Usually what happens is something happens to us in our lives. That's hurtful. But what ends up happening is we dwell on those things over and over and over. And we replay them in our minds. And over time, the situation grows in our minds and in our hearts. And it takes root and it gets deeper and deeper. And actually, I forget her full title, but she works in, I think it's neuroscience. She works with the brain pathways. And her name is Carolyn Leaf. And she actually said that your brain is like a tree. And what ends up happening is when you think repetitively on certain things, you begin to make pathways. And then it takes time of retraining and recreating new pathways to get out of that thought pattern. And that's part of why it's so hard sometimes to move on from things in our lives, because we have to renew our minds. You know, it's not that some of these experiences might not be awful. They may be terrible, and they may be really hard. But when we become angry and stay there, it becomes a problem in our life. The issue is that instead of taking our pain and anger to God and walking through healing with Him, we keep it to ourselves and it becomes a stronghold in our lives because of unforgiveness. And some things take time to process through and require a lot of healing. But if we take it to God, if we don't take it to God, we don't have that covering that we need to go through that process in the right way. Bitterness then becomes a spiritual stronghold in our lives, which gives the devil the authority to attack and mangle us. You might say, well, we're under God's grace, you know, we're covered. Yes, that is true, but bitterness is not of God and therefore gives him a foothold in our lives. You know, Bill Johnson, he preached a sermon called Choose Your Stronghold. And in this sermon, he talks about how strongholds are like castles. He then explains that the castles are hiding places and how in the case of a stronghold, it's a demonic hiding place created in someone's life through their thoughts. You see, the devil is under your feet, and yes, we do have authority over him. The catch is that he's very strategic. And he will 100% use your pain and unforgiveness to get us to come into agreement with him. He will even use the spaces where we haven't forgiven ourselves to attack our identity, our character, our self-worth, and every other thing he can think of, which, of course, all ties back into the guilt, the shame, and keeps us from entering in deeper with the Lord. We can't afford to remain in cycles of anger, unforgiveness, guilt, or shame because we are prisoners to bitterness. In the end, it stunts our growth and poisons our souls, and it leaves us as dry as a desert. And everyone knows that it's harder to produce and grow fruit in the desert. You see, when we don't give the things to God and forgive and choose to walk in bitterness, those spaces become weak points in our armor. This is why it's so important to come to him every single day and ask him what isn't pure and what isn't right and give it to him. And God has actually been prompting me to make this a daily habit. If I forget to do it, he will at some point in the day remind me and be like, hey, you didn't do your thing today. And I'm like, okay, you know, what are the things I need to give to you? And then I do. And why is that so important? It's important because there has to be, that's the part of the renewing of the mind every day. Because it renews the state of our hearts. Because it starts up here, and then it takes root in here. Because what we dwell on, again, it makes it a home, which either helps our hearts to be more like Jesus or poisons it. In Hebrews 12:2, also the Passion Translation, it says, It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. And this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. You see, God always intended for us to live beautiful and free lives. He never intended for us to live in pain, and he certainly never expected us to become captives to that pain. His desire from the very beginning was to walk with us in his garden and bond with us. He wants nothing more than for his children to be blessed, whole, and free. For me, I recently was freed of anxiety by walking with God and him healing me in the spaces I've been bitter since I was a child. There were things that I didn't even know I was bitter about. Actually, God and I actually had a conversation, and he said I was bitter. And I was like, what? Me? I was like, I'm not a bitter person. And then I asked him, because he was like, yes, you are. And I asked him to show me all the spaces that I carried bitterness. And he showed me I was bitter in so many areas of my life. I was absolutely stunned at the amount of bitterness hiding in my life. And actually, what got me the most, and I kind of laughed because I was like, oh, was He was like, "You're so bitter, you're mad at an entire country." And I was like, "Oh." Because you see, I grew up in Thailand, and a lot of their culture has things that end up, it's like a trust issue. You can't always trust things. And growing up in that culture gave me a lot of trust issues. And I had no idea. I was like, "Oh, this is just a normal thing because I've carried it for so long." And he's like, "Oh no, you're angry at the entire country because of their culture." I was like, "Oh, okay. I'll eat my words." But when I surrendered my bitterness to him, he completely healed me. Now, that being said, I'm still walking through healing with him in some of the bigger spaces. And the devil does try to sneakily try to like come in every day. And he'll try to get me to pick up that baggage again. And he'll try to slither in and be like, "Oh, no, you do feel this way." And every single day I have to wake up and ask God if there is anything in me that I need to give to him. And every day, there are things to give to him. But in doing so, I'm walking through the process of training myself to stop taking ownership of that baggage that's no longer mine. But also, I'm having to do that with anxiety. Because for years, it was my anxiety. "Oh, my anxiety causes me to. Oh, my anxiety makes me unable to." And it was such a stronghold in my life that I didn't like going in public very much. I didn't like being around people. I didn't like talking to new people. I would panic. Even doing something like this would be awful. I would be like melting before, like almost in tears. Like, "Oh God, help me." But God's really shifted things in my life and set me free. And the root of all of it was bitterness. And for years, you know, I replayed those moments in my life where I was hurt and I was wounded so badly that it fractured me in time. And over in my head, you know, I played those moments, and I'm having to really train myself not to do that anymore. In fact, when I notice those things that I start to go over those things again, I counter those moments by sometimes having to audibly say, "Nope, Jesus, I give those moments to you. You can have them. I don't want them anymore. And you take all that bitterness with you." I did not receive breakthrough and freedom until I genuinely and completely surrendered everything to him. You know, we must consecrate ourselves and give everything to him every day to ensure that there isn't a weak point in our armor that leaves us vulnerable. This is not because we fear the enemy, but because we need to be in constant alignment with the Lord in order to be fully covered and effective in the areas that he's called us to move with him in every day. The way we think has to be transformed. And what we do when we are bitter has to be the way we think. And what do we do when we are bitter? We replay those moments when we were hurt over and over again. And what once was a small disagreement now becomes this big, big bitter fight, until what once was a bad situation that needed God's love and healing has become a giant debilitating thing that consumes us. In Hebrews 12:2, it talks about discerning God's will as you live a beautiful life. And it has never been his will that we be mangled and crumpled. It's his will that we be whole and fulfilled, fully walking in our authority and our purpose, because we are earth shakers. We are supposed to walk with him as royalty, as his children, as warriors in his army. And he never intended for us to go through life partially alive. He never intended us to be fractured in time and holding on to the pain that we have experienced and been through. For a long time, I held on to those things because I thought it kept me safe. If I didn't forget to let go of it, or if I didn't forget and let go of it, no one could do it to me again because I'd see them coming. It was as if I held on to my bitterness so tight because if I didn't, people would see that I was vulnerable and somehow weak. And I was afraid they would then attack me. I forgot that I could trust God with my heart. I forgot that his will for my life was to be whole. You know, the world can be an ugly place sometimes. And we can go through some really hard seasons on our life's journey. But in Isaiah 40:30, it says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings like eagles. And they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." That does not at all say, oh, life's hard, and you should expect to be mangled and injured your whole life. It says, if we hope in the Lord, that we will be conquerors, that we will be whole, that we will be unstoppable. You know, I had a note that I wrote during service. It's easy, and I kind of think that it's kind of a church culture thing, because it's expected of us to forgive. Because everybody's like, oh, you have to forgive, or God can't forgive you, and we're taught that from a really little age. But it's more than just checking a box and saying, I forgive. But when we actually release someone or a situation where we have been fractured or stuck because of how painful it was, that costs us something. Surrendering those moments costs us something. And sometimes it feels really scary and really painful. But what happens in those spaces of vulnerability and releases that God meets us here in those spaces, and he takes that old damaged stuff from us and fills those spaces with love and goodness. You know, recently, he was talking to me about foundation and the analogy he gave me was about feet. He said, you can't have a really tall person with tiny feet. And I was like, okay. And he said, we have to have the foundation under us that can support the weight that they need to carry, that it needs to carry. You know, you look at skyscrapers. And I don't know if you've ever seen them in the building process. But, you know, growing up in Thailand and going to Bangkok all the time, you see the process of a lot of skyscrapers going up. And they have to dig so deep into the foundation and put in these giant steel bars. And there's so much, I don't know what it's called, but it's like this zigzag kind of patterned metal that they put down, and it's so deep into the ground, and concrete, and there's so many different layers that has to go into it, and it has to go so deep into the ground because it has to be able to withstand and hold the entire weight of what's on top of it. Otherwise, the entire building will crumple. And what happens is when we have things like bitterness and just different weaknesses in our lives and areas that we need to give to him and we don't give them to him, It's like slowly but surely, it's just taking a piece here and there of our armor. And pretty soon, you get enough of it, and the devil's got a lot of spots to shoot at you. And I don't know, God was just talking to me a lot about that this week, and he just brought that to mind. I just wanted to share, you know, give those things to him so that he can repair the foundation, because he wants you to be able to carry the anointing that he has on your life and the calling that's on your life. And to be able to really step into that fully, you have to have the right feet under you. And you know, somebody who really, I feel in the Bible, models this so beautifully is Joseph. And I just want to touch briefly on that, but you know, he went through being betrayed and sold by his brothers. He was a slave. He was wrongly imprisoned. And then he was stuck in prison for a long time. And then God, in the midst of that, put him on assignment to translate dreams for other people while he still rotted away in that cell. What would have happened if along the way he allowed bitterness to poison his heart? What if during that long time in prison he decided to hold on to anger and the pain that I'm sure he felt from being betrayed in such a horrible way by his brothers? What if he stayed focused on his past instead of his future? I can imagine that it was pretty hard for him at times to believe that God had his best interest at heart. I'm sure that at times he wanted to give up. I'm sure that some people, if put through the same situations, wouldn't have felt like translating those dreams for the baker and the cupbearer. And I'm sure that Egyptian prisons, especially back then, were not very kind. But you see, if he would have let bitterness take root in his heart and poison it, he would have missed out on the blessings that would come from his willingness to take an assignment from God while he was still in prison and while he was still in the midst of the ick. In turn, the story that's in the Bible today would have been very different, because God would have had to give the assignment to somebody else, or he would have had to completely shift the way that he did things in those years to help his people get through the famine. Because Joseph kept his heart posture right and didn't allow bitterness to take root and poison his heart, God blessed him beyond measure for his faithfulness and used him to help the entire Israeli nation through that famine. Today, I'd really like to challenge all of us to clean out all of those spaces in our hearts where we were holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, even if it's bitterness against ourselves. We often think that holding on to our hurts will keep us safe, but it isn't true. It doesn't make us stronger. It doesn't protect us from being hurt again. It doesn't help us, and it definitely doesn't serve us well. You see, in the end, we end up being captives within the stronghold that we have built, instead of being the masters in control of it. In time, it manifests as mental health issues, issues in our relationships, repressed anger, health issues, addictions, sexual sins, and so much more, because we have opened ourselves up and allowed there to be a foothold for the devil to mess with us. But God is saying, look, I will help you through all of it. You can trust me with your hearts. You can trust me with your hurts, and I will love it all away. His heart as a father is so for us that he would literally move heaven and earth to ensure that we are taken care of. And the proof of that is him sending his son to earth to offer himself as a willing sacrifice so we could have the freedom he always intended for us to have. If you can imagine, if you could close your eyes and just imagine the most perfect dad ever, whether that's your own dad or whether that's a dad you saw on TV, now imagine that love being a million times better than their love could ever be. Because we as humans are tainted and don't have the capacity to love as purely as he does. That's how much love he has for us. And that's how willing he is to help us and walk through things with us. And how deeply he wants to love us through those struggles and through our pain. There is literally nothing that he doesn't want to do for you. And I want to take a moment. And I just want to pray this into our lives. And if you could all just put your hands on your hearts. Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for bringing all of those moments where we've been bitter or where we're angry and struggling. And I just thank you, Father, for helping us to release those moments. And if you're ready, and right now, whatever he brings to mind, whether it's the smallest of things or the biggest of things, if you're ready, just give it to him. Say, you can have it. You can have it. And I thank you, Father, for taking those moments. And I thank you, Father, for just cleaning up all of the spaces that were poisoned as a result of what we were carrying, whether it's against ourselves or other people. And I thank you for a deep healing and uprooting all of those deep roots. And I thank you in exchange, Father, that you pour in your love and you pour in your goodness and your presence. And I thank you, Father God, that it costs us something, but that in this beautiful exchange with you, that you're replacing it with something so much better. Yeah. I thank you for filling every empty space in us, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for new growth and new wineskins and new wine so that we can move into this next season without being weighed down by things that aren't ours to carry. I thank you for helping us to give those over. And I thank you for releasing self-love in this room, Father God, that we would love ourselves as you love us, and that we would see ourselves the way you see us, because we cannot afford to move forward not seeing our true identity and not walking in our true identity and as royalty. This world, it needs little lights, and we are all those little lights. And I thank you, Father, that you're returning our shine so that we can shine brighter and make more impact in our families, in our communities, in our countries, and in this entire world. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to say, God brought to mind while I was praying that we are his vessels. And I think of it like a cup. That's always how I see it. I see it like a cup, right? But when things fill the cup that don't belong in the cup, it limits the space that he can keep pouring. And until we're ready to remove those things from the cup, he can't fully pour. And the point of him pouring isn't that it stays stagnant in our little cup, but our little cup tips and overflows because he pours so much, because he's a generous dad. And he wants us to have all of the things and all of the desires of our hearts and all of the blessings. That's a lot of things to pour. But if we continue to stay full, there's nowhere else to go. And so as he fills us, we fill those around us. And the impact that that makes, I think they call it the butterfly effect, right? Where it just keeps going, or the ripple effect. There we go. The ripple effect is that the next person's full and they're overflowing onto the next person and onto the next person and onto the next person. And the impact that that makes is huge. But it all starts with us emptying our own cups so that we have the capacity to receive all of the things that he wants to give us.